Fun to take advantage of the opportunity, as we all learn the sugyas of brachos, particularly when the sugyas of brachos and mitzvahs, to discuss a little bit about the brachos and mitzvahs as it relates to the mitzvah coming up in a couple of days, the mitzvah of lachas es hanukkah. So we try to focus on the sugya a little bit from the brachos angle, and as it becomes relevant, of course, in terms of the ma'aseh, so we'll try to highlight that as well. So the sugya begins in the first of the Ramakamos, then the Sefer Shabbos, Afal Kibla Min Aleph, where the Gemara had just previously said that one is required to recite a bracha before lighting their Hanukkah. The Gemara asks, "My mevarach, what mitzvah bracha? What bracha do you recite? Mevarach asher kiddushan mitzvah is v'chal lahavik ner shel Hanukkah." The difference to yourself, whether that's exactly what it says. Some say the gears of lahavik ner Hanukkah, some say lahavik ner kiddushan lechanukkah, ner shel Hanukkah. Different nuances. But the bottom line is, it's all pretty much the same, that we recite the bracha upon the fulfillment of this mitzvah before one performs the mitzvah of Neres Hanukkah. So at first glance, it seems to be no different than any other mitzvah that we've been talking about. We recite brachas before putting on tefillin, before putting on shofar, before shaking the lulav, eating matzah, etc. But here the Gemara asks a very, very powerful question. How can we say with a straight face, that you, Hashem, are being blessed because you commanded us to light Neres Hanukkah? It's not true. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us to light Neres Hanukkah. It's not in the Chumash, it's not in the mitzvah in the Torah. It's only considered to be a mitzvah in the Rabbanan. When you eat matzah, you can make a bracha. You shake a lulav, you shake a shofar, those are all mitzvahs there, right? What right do we have to recite a shekh kibishon mitzvah on a mitzvah that's only in the Rabbanan? But the other says that the Gemara could have asked this question in many, many other cases. Could have asked it, even the Kriyas of Megillah, could have asked it about the Sil Shadayim, a lot of mitzvahs the Gemara could have asked this. But he asked it on this sugya, Hechon Tivanu. The Amoraim have a machlokes as to which pasuk can we in a sense tack on the mitzvah Neres Hanukkah, for that matter, tack on all mitzvahs to Rabbanan. So Rav Yivya says that it's based on the pasuk of Sosum Radavah Shagir Choyabin Asmol. So it tells the Basha Shoftim that when the Chachamim say something, the Chachamim Asherah say something, we're required by the Torah itself from the Zerim, Sosum Radavah Shagir Choyabin Asmol. So if you saw in that parsha of Losasur, that we can say Hashem with a straight face, Hashem Kiddushan Mitzvah in the Tivanu, even though Kiddush Baruch Hu wasn't Mitzvah, didn't command us to literally to light Neres Hanukkah, but he did command us to listen to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim told us to light Neres Hanukkah. So in effect, when we light Neres Hanukkah, we're fulfilling a mitzvah in the Torah, we're fulfilling the mitzvah of Losasur, Adam Hashem Gizu Choyim in his call. But the truth is that even though Rav Yivya does use the phrase Losasur, he probably doesn't refer literally to the word Losasur, because Losasa is a lav, is a nista. The Torah says there are two parts of listening to the Chachamim. There's a prohibition to rebel against the Chachamim, and then there's a positive mitzvah to actually listen to what they say. The Losasa is a Losasa, then there's another half of the mitzvah, Shayom Luchataz, that they actually do. So when Rav Yivya says Losasa, he probably means Losasa v'chulet. He's really referring to the last part of the Chachamim, Shayom Luchataz, that you wouldn't recite a bracha on Losasa. They only recite a bracha, and the person doesn't violate a lav. The person doesn't eat trace, he don't make a bracha. They're not being Michal Shabbos, he don't make a bracha. The person has a great desire to speak Lashon Hara, and he holds back, he don't make a bracha. Brachas were instituted for Mitzvah Saseh, not for Mitzvah Lo Saseh. That's in fact what led the Rush to conclude that there's a bracha that we recite, it sounds like it violates this principle. There's a bracha that we recite under the Chuppah, Shekidishanu Mitzvah Tzivan Al Araya. We praise Hashem for giving us the Yisurim of Araya. So the Rush says, what kind of bracha is that? When do we make a bracha upon not doing something that's author? So the Rush was so bothered with that kasha that he revamped the whole bracha. He said that the bracha under the chuppah is not a birchas ha-mitzvah. It's a bracha ha-shava. It's a bracha on the institution of marriage rather than on the mitzvah of marriage. Because if it was on the mitzvah of marriage, then it should have sounded like a shirik d'shav, it was on the katechet isha. And the fact that we dafka not speak in a positive lashon under the chuppah, we speak in a negative tone. We say, thank Hashem for all the bad things. He told us to stay away from all your ayahs. That teaches us, as the Rosh, it's not really a Birchat Mitzvah, it's really a Birchat HaShevach. So when Rav Avivi says that it's based on the Tosfos, he doesn't mean literally the Tosfos, he means the general mitzvah essay of listening to the Chacham. Then the Gemara gives the second pshat. Rav Nechemia says it's based on a different pasuk lagavri. She'alav yichir yagech etkin echviyem nulach. For the pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Ta'azinu, but the Torah tells us we should ask our fathers, we should ask our zekeinim. So here the Gemara is interpreting avicha and zekeinecha not in the biological sense, but in the halachic sense. The Gemara says that. Now, you find sometimes that Tanakh uses the word Avi, the word Av, to refer to a Rebbe. Avi, Rechem Yisrael for Russia. And Yo and Elisha, Elisha refers to Yo as not his biological father, he refers to him as his Av. And the Torah refers to Tamidim as Bonim, Mishinabdim Levanecha, as the mitzvah in the Torah to teach Torah to Tamidim, even though he's not my son, but there's still a mitzvah, Mishinabdim Levanecha, Elu Tamidecha. That's what the Gemara seems to be interpreting here also, Shalavicha, the Aget Chadim. You should ask the Chachamim, ask the Chachamim at Torah for guidance. Is the Kein Nechemi Amalach, whatever they're going to tell you, you should follow. So Nechemi saw in that pasuk a mitzvah of listening to the Chachamim. Whether the mitzvah to listen to the Chachamim is based on Mosasa, whether it's based on Shalavicha, it's enough of a mitzvah to warrant reciting the bracha on. And that's the fulfillment of the Heichan Sivan. That's the answer to the question, the Heichan Sivanu. So this Gemara, although it starts out as an Erekhanika Sugya, really applies to other mitzvahs there above it as well. And that, in fact, is the rule of the brachas. We do recite brachas on many, many mitzvahs there above, including the Megillah and Erech Tashilin, Shabbat, and so on. And many, many mitzvahs there above it, we do say with the same Rosh and the same Nuscha Mashiach Kedishan and Mitzvah Sivanu, either following Rav Ivi's interpretation or of Nechemi's interpretation. So the Rambam says this clearly in the second of the Maamar Kama. The only problem is that what it says on your page of the Maamar Kama is not what was supposed to be in the Maamar Kama. It was supposed to be, it was my mistake, to break it out, put the Aloha Dalad. I think that when the person wrote, when I wrote it up quickly, so my vase, my Dalad looks like a vase, so he wrote Aloha Bays. Very nice, not Aloha Bays, so that's not what we're talking about. But it has to be brachas, that's not what I wanted. The Rambam just says Aloha Bays, just tells you to make brachas. But Aloha Dalad, if I'm not mistaken, he tells you to make brachas on Dirabanans also. That's the part that we really, really wanted. The Rambam paraphrases this Gemara, and then the Rambam elaborates upon it. The truth is that I really wanted was to build up to the next round in the third of the Maamar Kamos, which I think is the correct Maamar Kamos. The Rambam in the third of the Maamar Kamos, Luchos Maamar, in Perek Aleph, Halachas Aleph, and Beis, so gives us an introduction to the general question of listening to the Chachmei Torah. Because at the end of the day, the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah is relying on that principle in Halacha called the mitzvah in the Torah of listening to the Chachmei Torah. That's what gives us the right to recite a bracha of Asher Kedushan and Mitzvah Yisrael Tivanu. That's what the Rambam elaborates upon at the very beginning of this Mamrim. From Bert Avalach and Aleph, the Rambam writes, the days in Agogol Shet Yerushalayim came Iker Teresh about that. The days in the Saturn, which is the God of the Saturn, the Beit HaMikdash, but that's the Iker Teresh about that. That's the mainstay of Teresh about that. The Heim Amudei HaHora, they are literally the pillars of Tarsk and Yishayelah. Umehem Chayku Mishpat Yaitu L'chol Yisrael. It's only from them that four halachas emanate to Klal Yisrael. It's only based on the psalm of the Chachmei Torah of the Beis HaGadol that ultimately the Torah relies upon. Then the Rambam concludes in the Halacha by saying, anybody who believes in Torah Moshe is required to rely on the psalm of the Beis HaGadol in all areas of the Das, all areas of religion. Okay, good. It's all falling by one. Okay, good. Okay, sure. So now the question is, who is to blame? Was it I was blaming put on the fellow by saying the days look like a Dallas. Now maybe he just goofed by looking at the wrong halacha. Can't tell. So the halacha Aleph, the Rambam speaks in general terms about the requirement of listening to the Chachmei Torah. But then the halacha Beis, the Rambam gets down also to the nitty gritty, going to what exactly that means and how this becomes relevant in terms of that sugya of Neres Chanukah. The Rambam tells us in halacha Beis, anybody who doesn't follow the psak of the Beis HaGadol, only below Sethi, is in violation of prohibition, as we said before, not only is it a positive mitzvah, it is an isser as well. The ain like in Allah there, just because it's a law in the Torah, doesn't necessarily mean that if a person violates the Yechai Malkus, because it happens to be a rule, that whenever you have a law in the Torah, that could sometimes result in a chiyuv nisus beis, it can sometimes bring about a capital punishment, even though in this particular case it happens in Masavi, you don't get Malchus. That's the rule of Malchus. So the law of Anita of Azar Sif is based in. But this law of Sosim and Adav of rebellion against the Chachmei Torah can sometimes bring about Mises Beis of how? If I choose not to light near Chanukah, I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah, but that's the Chod HaChayim Mises Beis Din. The only case where a violation of Sosim can bring about a Chiyah Mises Beis Din, Shkachochem Shemira al Divreyam Nisasi Bechenek Shenemar Ish Shriyat of the Zodan of the Gremer. That's what's called the Zachin Mamre. Let's say you have a Beis Din Agobo, they pass in something, and one guy, the Pitam Chacham, he gets up and he says, I disagree with the Beis Din. And he starts walking around telling everybody, don't listen to the rabbis, inshallah, let me tell you what you're supposed to do. So that's what's called the Zakin Namre. That's not a good thing to be a Zakin Namre. What is Chayav Nisa for being a Zakin Namre? What's the Pesuk in Chumash that says, don't be a Zakin Namre? So since that Pesuk is sometimes used, that's a very, very rare application of Lo Sosma. 999 times, Lo Sosma doesn't refer to a guy who's a Zakin Namre who's Chayav Nisa. Lo Sosma usually refers to the guy who was lazy, didn't like Yeruch Hanukkah. The guy who was, decided to move Mukta. That's what Lo Sosma 99% of the time talks to. But since once in the Yovel you have a guy who's a Zakin Namre, so the Lav is labeled in Allah, the Lav and Nisa Lo Sosma is a Satan, and therefore it's not subject to Malchus. And then the Ram continues and says, so what does this Lav entail? Or what does this Nisa Satan entail? What exactly is expected by us to listen to the Chachamim? So the Rambam breaks down the obligation to listen to the Chachamim into three distinct halacha categories. Echad Dvarim, says the Rambam in continuation, the third line of that halacha. Echad Dvarim, Shalom Dvarim, Repi HaShmua, Tehim Teresh HaBapeh. So first of all, says the Rambam, there are parts of Torah, that the Chachmei HaTorah, the Beis Din Yerushalayim, received by tradition, we call it Pi HaShmua. There are many, many things that were Pi HaShmua, but they're the Moshul. The Beis Din Yerushalayim tells us, it won't have to be square. It won't have to be black. How do you know? Where does it say that? So they tell you. Where does it say it anywhere? But our Rabbeim told it to us. We have a Shemua. We have a Tia Shemua. Ish Mepisha, Mesh Rabbeinu. That's the din. So let's say the Beis Din HaGadol tells you how to shech something. And the Beis Din HaGadol tells you basic things, basic malachas. They're not malachas now to do on Shabbat. Where does it say these things? These are all the Tia Shemua. This is all the bulk of the basis of the foundation of the Tia Shemua. So this is the Dvar with Tia Shemua. If a person will go ahead and rebel against the Chacham in those areas of Halacha, that's a violation of Lo Sosma. That's the first category. And the Ram continues. The Echad Devarim Shalom Lubiti Daitam, the Achat Benamida Shetan Drashas Ben, the Nirbin Nam Shadavar Zeh Kahu. Sometimes you have a child that comes up, a new Shet comes up. It's not the Ashmua. We don't have a tradition, Ishmi Pisha, and Meshul Ben what to do. A new issue comes up. How do you know what to do? How do you act when a new issue comes up? Have to figure out. So we have rules of how to derive halachas, how to extract the halachas one from another. We have kapachemers, we have matinos, we have svaras, we have all kind of lumdas. We have a lot of ways. The new shahs came up to compare things. The dam is coming down, but we try to compare one case to another case. That's the second area of tereshim up there. Not the first. The first was a clear cut misery, ish b'pish and meishu meidu. This is how you shecht an animal. This is a chachma, this is a lot. This is how you do it. This is what mitzvah looks like. This is what tefillah looks like. This is what Shabbos looks like. This is how you take classes. These are the ABCs of Tereshim Bateh. So that's the first category. The second category are things that are derived from the Sukhmur Chumash, derived from the Tereshim Bateh, but are not necessarily called the Piyashmua. So if a person decides to take on the Chachmei Torah, and that also, all the Chumim Yishalayim say that we think the following Kavach Chumash makes sense, and there's one guy who says, no, I disagree, and I'm going to pass it against you, that's also called Lo Sosma. So far, both categories are correct, but neither of them have anything to do with what we're talking about. So the third category that becomes relevant for us. Yechad says the Rambam, Yechad Dvarim She'asom Siyad LaTorah. Sometimes the Chacham institutes something as a fence to protect the Torah. We're now entering into the realm of Allah that are called the Rabbanim, not their actors anymore. Min HaTorah, you're allowed to move a pencil on Shabbat. But the Rabbanim thought, it's not a good idea. If you move a pencil, next thing you know, you're going to write with a pencil. But the Min HaTorah, you're allowed to eat chicken and milk together. And with the Rabbanim, bad idea, you may come to cook and eat meat and milk together as well. Each generation, the Chachmei Torah have to determine, is this a good gezerah, not a good gezerah? This includes the gezerah, the hatakonah, the hanitagai. This includes different types of things, both negative and positive. This includes tiyagim. This includes different takonah chachamim. This includes dinim the Rabbanim. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have to discuss what to do about lighting their Chanukah because it didn't exist yet. So 1,500 years later, there was a Shaila. What do you do? How do you respond to their Chanukah? How do you respond to the nation of Chanukah? The Chacham said, let's make the following takana, make sense. They had to deliberate and figure out, should we light neighbor, should we make a party, should we say hello, play great, let's figure out, well, what's the right halachic approach, so what mitzvah do we mistaken? When the Chacham Yatzarah worked out the details, we were mistaken, what we call today, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kavim Yom Tov HaHalav Odoya, the Institute of HaHalav Odoya, and neighbors, etc., as the proper halachic fulfillment of the celebrating the Neitz Chanukah, if a guy is going to come and say, I don't want to follow that. I think the rabbis are wrong. I'm going to make my own story. That's also a violation of Lo Sofer. But the rabbin says, Kol echa v'echa v'eilu ha-shloish ha-dvarim, mitzvah death l'shema lehem. One is required to listen to the Chacham in each one of them. V'eivra kol echa v'eil v'eil v'lo sefrei. And then I'm sure you're going to suck him out because I'll figure out that all three of these components are included in this mitzvah. So it's this third part of the Rambam that clearly the Gemara Masech HaShabbos is referring to. And the Gemara asks, Behechan Tivon. The Gemara asks, how do you know that you have to recite a bracha before lighting the Chanukah? Behechan Tivon, Lo Sosa. Which part of Lo Sosa was the Gemara referring to? It wasn't referring to the Pi HaShmua. Near Chanukah is far from being the Pi HaShmua. Near Chanukah is not even the second category. It's not deriving from pre-existing didn't what to do. Neir Chanukah is the third category. Neir Chanukah is a davar chadash, it's a takana, it's used in the Rabbanan in response to something that happened in that particular generation. But that's the Kavanah of the Gemara, where the Gemara says that is included in the mitzvah of Lo Sosa. So, Kol Panim, we now have, based on what we spoke about previously, tonight, we have brachas that are instituted, both for mitzvahs that are mitzvahs d'Oraisa and for mitzvahs that are mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. You know, the thing is, you have to touch up the mitzvah d'Rabbanan part a little bit. For understanding Reichan Sivanu and understanding based on the Rambam, which part of Los Altar that we're focusing on. But now we enter into another area of halacha that is neither a mitzvah deraita nor a mitzvah derabanan. That's the area that's called a minhag. Sometimes we have to do things, we're required to do things, that we can't really describe as a mitzvah, not a mitzvah deraita, it's not even a mitzvah derabanan. The Chacham are telling us to do it, they're telling us to do it because minhag is a custom to do it, but the custom is not a mitzvah. So where does that fit in terms of the Chazal? That's in the fourth Imam of Hermes, the Imam of Sekha Sukra, and Dr. Ndara of Amaze. The Gemara is discussing the practice of banging at rubbers. The Machlek is in Mishalim, actually, where the practice of banging at rubbers like we do. Some Rashi writes that we're supposed to shake their rubber, not bang their rubber. So some have a minute there, give a little shake or something like that before they bang. But then most people just bang their rubber. That's what most of the Postgres do. So the Gemara is a discussion about this practice of banging their rubber. Where did it come from? Doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. So it's a din midrabban, something that was instituted by the Chachamim. So the Gemara says it was instituted a long, long time ago, in the days of the beginning of Baisheni. The Gemara just has some machlokes. Everybody agrees that it's not a deraita. Everyone agrees it was instituted by the days of the Zvi Macharenim. But the Gemara is a shy. The Gemara is not sure, was it instituted by Torah's mitzvah derabbanan, or was it instituted by Torah's minog derabbanan? Is it something that the Chachamim labeled as a mitzvah, like Kriyat HaMegillah, like Chanukah, lighting Shabbos candles, washing the Kedayim? As a bona fide mitzvah derabbanan, but do we say no? You have to do it. I'll be at the teres minig. So the Gemara tells a story in the fourth of the Rambam Kermes and Sudim and Dalar of Beis. I'm a Ibu. Habaki imna kamedir Rabbi Elazar by Tzadok. Ibu says that he was once standing in front of the town of Elazar by Tzadok. The Aisei al Gavra Arab Kamei. Somebody brought an Arab to him on Hashan Rabba. Shokol, he took the Arab, chavit, lo barach. We translate that, I mean, he banged it on the floor. And it doesn't say banged it three times, five times, 100 times. It's chavit, banged it a little bit. And he didn't recite a bracha of Asher Kiddushar Tzadar Al Chavitus Arava. The Gemara Kesav Ben Gnevinu. The reason why Rabbi Lazar Tzadik didn't recite a bracha is because his opinion was that it wasn't really a mitzvah to Rabbanan, so it doesn't fall into the Heichan Tivanu in the classic sense. Rather, it's only the Teres Minute. So it's this Gemara that now serves as the source for a distinction between mitzvah to Rabbanan on the one hand and Minhagin to Rabbanan on the other hand. And then Hagi Dirabanan, although you're supposed to do it, you have to do it, wouldn't require the recitation of the bracha. There is a major machlekes in Rishonim just how far this statement goes. One of the parameters of the statement that a minig Dirabanan doesn't require a bracha. So comes the Rambam in the fifth of the Rambam Kaimis, look at bracha, bring it out, look at the Zion. Called Davishu minig, anything that we have to do, Bataras minig, Avopi pi shed minig devimu, even though it's a very, very old minig. When I say minig, I don't mean it's a minig that started 20 years ago. I mean, a minig for thousands of years. It was instituted by the Nevi'im themselves. Kegon mitilat harava b'shvir shachar. So an example, the minig. There's the example the Gemara gives, which is the bang of the harava on Hashanah Rabbah. It's only b'teres minig, and therefore it does not require a bracha. The Ein Tzarich Leiv Minhag Chachamim says the Rambam, there are lower level minhagim that we perform that are also b'taras minhag, but they're not instituted by Nevi'im, they're instituted by the Chachamim at a later date. To go and create halab or Rashi Chadash or Chol Vayesh Pesach. The Rambam points out two situations where we recite Hallel, and the recitation of Hallel is not a deraita, not even a derabbanan, it's only b'taras minhag. One of them is Hallel and Rish Chodesh, and the other is Hallel on Chol HaMoed. So the Rambam, Chol HaMoed, it'll answer. So the Rambam lumps the two together and says, Ein Mevarchin Alaf, one would not recite a bracha on either one of neither one of those, the Hallel, because they're not required, not in the Torah, not in the Rambam, they're not required by Torah, they're only required by Torah, you know. How does the Rambam know that Hallel on Rish Chodesh and Hallel on the end of Pesach is only on Minhag? So half of it he got from the Gemara, and the other half he extrapolated himself. The Gemara tells a story that the Rav arrived in Babel, and he saw the people saying Hallel on Rish Chodesh, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. He said, where he came from, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say Hallel on Rish Chodesh, but he couldn't figure out what was happening until he realized they were only saying Chatzi Hallel. When he realized they were only saying Chatzi Hallel, they were skipping here and there from him, and he realized it wasn't a real din, it was only a Teres Minhag, and he said, all right, you can do whatever a Minhag you can continue to do. And the Gemara says the favor, says the recitation of Hallel on Rish Chodesh was only a Minhag, and it wasn't even a universal Minhag. In the days of the Gemara, it wasn't even accepted by everybody. Later years, then, by the end of the period of Gemara, but it's Banazah, so it's become a universal Minhag, but it's only a Teres Minhag. So the Gemara says in the Masechet Erechin, but on Chol HaMoed Pesach, you only say Chatzi Hallel. You don't say a full Hallel. So the Rambam put two and two together. The Rambam said, that by Rish Chodesh, the Gemara says you say Chatzi Hallel because it's a Minhag. And by Chol HaMoed Pesach, we know for a fact you say Chatzi Hallel. The must be that the Rambam, that Hallel and Chol HaMoed Pesach was also only a Minhag. If it would have been a real Hallel, it would have been a Hallel Shalom. The Rambam understands that there are two kinds of Hallel. There's Hallel Shalom, and then there's Chatzi Hallel. Hallel Shalom is always synonymous with a mitzvah. Chatzi Hallel is always synonymous with a minhag. So anytime we find in halacha the recitation of a mir Chatzi Hallel, that's a dead giveaway. That's the code phrase to say it's only a minhag anyway. That's the shita of Rambam. But the Ramban happens to disagree with that. The Ramban says it's not true. The Ramban says that Hallel Rish Chodesh is a minhag. That's what says in the Gemara. But Hallel and Pesach is a din. It's a din with the Ramban to say Chatzi Hallel. Why? The Mark is a reason. The Medrash is another reason. The Mark is a the half a dozen reasons why they only say Chatzi Hallel on the end of Pesach. But they say the Ramban, it's not a minhag to say Chatzi Hallel. It's a din that the Ramban to say Chatzi Hallel. But I'll go by the recording sheet of the Rambam by both Rish Chodesh and Pesach, or at least according to everybody, by Hallel and Rish Chodesh. So these all these Chatzi Hallel, the Sunday Chatzi Hallel, only the Teres Minhag. And therefore the Ram concludes, Ein Mevarchin Alav. Therefore one should not recite a bracha on it, because this is equivalent of the bang of the Arabas. The same way you don't recite a bracha and bang the Arabas because it's only a minhag. Don't say you don't recite a bracha on the saying of Hallel whenever you're only saying Chatziyala because it's only a minhag. So this is the Shita of Rambam, that all minhagim, no matter what they are, whether it's old minhagim, new minhagim, you name it, if it's not a mitzvah deraita, nor a mitzvah derabanan, you cannot say with a straight face the shekin yishalim it's face of itzikon. So other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, the Raivan on the bottom of the notes of this Rambam, two lines on the bottom. So the writer says he doesn't think this is right. Nira lishon la'onu elachol mochalos ha'pesach levad, aval shal rash chodesh, kevracha tignu, v'lefarsi moshu rash chodesh. So says the writer, he has a split in the other direction. He says, maybe halon rash chodesh you should say with a bracha. Why? Because you want everyone to know that such rash pesach, if you haven't figured out the third day chol moed, that it's pesach, you're in the wrong pesach program. So if halon rash chodesh, that's the point. It could be the guy was sleeping. He forgot Yalav Yavol. Now he's already 1 foot out the door. We got to remind him, right? He's going to be late. He's going to be Muslim. Don't announce up here. He missed the guy who was announcing yesterday that Davi is 50 minutes early. So he came to talk about 50 minutes late. But he has no idea what time, what day of the month it is. So maybe there's a point to saying Hallel with the Bracha. The Rabbi has an interesting tangential reason maybe to defend making a Bracha. Then he goes on. The Anum in Agim the Bracha B'Kulan. The Aim on a Lumar Me'arava. With the She'en Bar in the back of the page. So Shabbach V'Alda Vinati Masa. The Rebbe says that you can make a distinction between the very shvach a minute, banging a rabba. What's banging a rabba? What's the big deal? You give a clap, showing this, but you have to make a bracha on that. But halal rish chodesh, that's a minute, that's a yom kadosh. the about to say Musaf, that's a serious stuff. So then it would be as a nice confirmation of the Tishrei Yom V'Chodesh to recite Hallel actually with a bracha. So the Rav, again, is giving almost tangential reasons that. Oh, so tell you about me. They didn't make it in this book. Not part of this. I mean, you're asking, it's over to me. The Rav is right, and they should have just made it in this book. Right. It's interesting if you think about it, you know, from our vantage point, think about it psychologically. The Rav is saying on the pedestal, which is the more important Hallel, which is the more important Minig? The Minig of Hallel and Rishchaydis, that's a Minig, they get the bracha. Klavan of Shabbos, yeah, what's the value of Shabbos? That's not exactly the way most people perceive it. Hashanah Ravach, what's the highlight of Hashanah Ravach? The chazan with kittel, the kovel of asim, even the opportunity of that, with the kittels are coming down, you're getting your cripple commanded to eat, and you're banging that rub, halal of shredish. Some shuls could take 30 to 45 seconds, no halal of shredish. So, but the rabbit, about his shul, he felt, okay, halal of shredish is more chashim than a banging a rub. The Tosfos has a similar idea to this rabbit, the sixth of the man of Chavis. Tosfos writes in Sukkot of Nandalam and Beis, Rabbi Natan claims that the ain rhyme that Rabbi Lahalo. Rabbi Natan says just because you don't make a bracha on Tanya Yoshanes doesn't mean you shouldn't make a bracha on Halav Rishchaydish. The Rabbi in a latiltel. A Rabbi is a garnish. So you take the Rabbi and bang it around, walk around a little bit. The cave is a lot of takanti, alimenhaga lo chashiva lo mekla bracha. You don't make a bracha on that. Vakriyat ha'al lo garmikar b'tayra. Says Rabbi Natan, ha'al, it's like the learning tehillim. So it's no worse than the bracha Torah, no worse than making a bracha on any other tzukim. So whether you like the Rav's reason, the Rabbi Tam's reason, or whether you think the Rambam's right, at the end of the day, these things are really the Torah's minna, and fundamentally they really shouldn't require brachas. According to the Rambam, not just fundamentally, but all the time, according to the Rambam, the universal din is no mitzvahs require brachas. The Rabbi Tam says, well, every once in a while you luck out, you get a chashuv minna. Every once in a while since the Rav, you get a chashuv one, and the chashuv minna is the halav v'shedish. So the background to this now comes back and makes complete circle to Neres Chanukah. We started out the sugya by saying, Neres Chanukah v'heichar zivonu. Why do you make a bracha? The right is not. The best thing to come up with was only the Rabbam. So we understand why we recite a bracha when we light Neres Chanukah in our own home, because we're really truly fulfilling a mitzvah, albeit a mitzvah the Rabbam. But there is another kind of a lock of Neres Chanukah that is quoted, not in the Gemara, but in the Rishon and the Shulchan Aruch, and that is a lock of Neres Chanukah in Shul. There's an age-old practice of lighting Neres Chanukah in shul, and part of that practice is to actually recite a bracha shekidishan upon that lighting. And this has always been a problematic practice, because the Rishonim point out that one is not really yaitzid in mitzvah in shul, because near Yishuvesa, the person has to light Pes Chabayis, that's the chaser, you have to light where you live. You live in the shul, so maybe you can be yaitzid. But you don't live in the shul, and you can't be yaitzid. So why are we lighting it for? So that practice of lighting a shul does not appear in the Gemara. If he hasn't, Rishonim does not appear in the Gemara. So the Rishonim writes that the practice of lighting the Tanakh and shul is the Teres Minhag. The minhag that was instituted by the later generations after the Chassidus HaGemara. Why was it instituted? One could suggest it was probably instituted for the following reason. In the olden days, the Eastern Mamash, Moses would light literally outside. That was the Ikir Pesu Minita. The Gemara says if you're stuck and you live in a place where the Goyim are going to let you light outside, the candles are waiting, the pipes are waiting, but the Gemara says, "Bishas ha'sekana." Doesn't just mean they're going to kill you. I mean, that's going to work out right. Then benichal shulchan, and then you can light inside as well. But the way we light Neres Chanukah today is almost like a bidyavin. He's a lechatchili. You should really light mamish outside, and when you see us, that's the real mukor. That's the real pesu benicha. Like many people in their shul do, and people even in that community do that a little bit. But most of us light like we've been lighting for thousands of years already indoors. High risk of pesu benicha. So we get a little bit by the window if you can. And you get to live in Ambay, and so at least some of the people in the house, you know, or we consider that to be at least a bidiyavit fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's finally going to be a choice. Not so practical for us to put a thousand menorahs down the street for asking for trouble. So it could be that once the minhag shifted a little bit, the days of the Rishon, the minhag shifted as to where the light, there was a certain feeling that we're lacking the Tzimunisa. I mean, there's a certain dimension of the Tzimunisa that we're not attaining this line of death. It could be that at the same time when the Rishonim said that the Zman HaZeh, we treat it like a Shas HaSakana, we have to light indoors, at the same time they made almost like a Tashlum, a way to make up a little bit, let's try to chop a little bit extra for the Menisa that we can, and the best way to chop the extra for the Menisa is to light in Shul, hopefully everyone comes to Shul, but that what you're lacking in your pride of Hadlaka, at least you'll make up in terms of the Menisa. So what's really happening in terms of Hadlaka, the Neiris are really twofold. The real mitzvah, the Rabban, the Hadlaka, the Neiris, we're fulfilling in our own home. That's the Ikat HaKana, Neri Shubeso, Festabais, Festachoser, Rishas HaKonim, and Yichol Shulchan HaVedayim. So did the Yevon at least, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of Neri Shubeso with their own Hatlacha. We're lighting in shul, but we can't say with a straight face that it's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, as if you're in the Gemara. The minig we shed is minig in Shulchan Aruch. Now the question becomes, well, the minig, is it appropriate to recite a bracha on it or not? So now it becomes totally dependent on what we're speaking about. If you hold you can make brachas in minhagim, so great. If you hold you can't make brachas in minhagim, then we're in trouble. So we as Ashkenazim are not so worried, because our practice is we do make brachas in certain minhagim. So we are the chashuv of minhagim. The hal of Ashkenazim, we do. Hal of Ashkenazim, we do. We recite brachas in minhagim all the time. The only brachas we don't make in minhagim are the dying of the Arabas, the very, very shvacha, low-level kinds of minhagim. But very certain types of minhagim that we consider to be significant. What criteria we use for significance of minhagim is a whole different topic. But the concept, according to minhag and the practice in Ashkenazi communities, at least some forms recite brachas in minhagim. So for us, it's not so difficult, this practice of reciting a bracha on the halakha teretz and shul. But for the Sfarim, it becomes a little more difficult. The Shulchan Aruch and the Chanukah quote the practice of the Rivash of reciting a bracha, notwithstanding the fact that the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfarim, he didn't recite a bracha on Halal Rosh Chodesh. So the same Shulchan Aruch didn't recite a bracha on Halal Rosh Chodesh, but did make a bracha on the Neir of Chanukah and shul, which is a little bit difficult to understand. So it's not quite clear to the Sfarim how those two practices are consistent. For us, we're not so concerned, because we hold that you can make brachas in minhagim, with the exception of a few very, very low-level forms of mitzvah. So that's a different one. There was a takanas chacham at one time in history to recite kiddush and shul for the orchim. The question is, whether that takanas will apply anymore. Those who did away with that because they held they're not orchim anymore, what are you making kiddush for? And others held, no, there was a formal takana to actually recite kiddush and shul. So that's not really a minhag. It's either a takana or it's a bracha batal. Somewhere in the middle. So al kol poyim, there are different dargahs, different degrees of things that we're obligated to do. Some things we're obligated to do in the Torah, but also for sure require brachas, again, assuming that they meet the criteria of brachas. Then you have things which are only with the Rabbanan, so that's the Gemara's question, heichan tifanim, the Gemara discovered, you do a sasa, shalavicha, whatever it is, with the Rambam of man's elaboration. Then you have the third level of minhagim, which at least the Gemara says you don't make a bracha on, and the Rishonim differ as to, is that a general klal that the Rambam holds that no minhagim warrants brachas? But we say some minhagim do, some minhagim don't. Those who say that no minhagim warrants brachas, you have to really work hard to figure out what's going on in the nearest Chanukah and shul. Those who follow the Ashkenazi practice that some minhagim do, but apparently Chanukah falls into that higher level, that stronger level, and get what the guidelines are, how the parameters are, how do you know whether any given minhag is a higher level or lower level, a different story. But the existence of brachas and minhagim, what it does exist, the concept does exist, at least according to standard Ashkenazi.
We don't have to agree. And we're going to be trying to